Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Michael Strahan comes on the podcast with us. He's like, yeah, I'm going to the friends and family premiere of Last Jedi. It's like, oh, you guys want to go? He gets us on the list. And so then I'm at the theater online, and I get the text. He's like, ah, cuz, I'm still at Lucy's game. I'm not going to make it. And I'm like, hey, bro, next time just let me know. He goes, hey, man, I'm just telling you, we're going to be friends a long time. This shit's going to happen again.
Yo, 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 we are back. A brand new episode of R2C2. Every Thursday, you know, you get a new episode, so make sure you're downloading, listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing. I have to say, it was pretty awesome being in London and hearing from so many people who were like, yo, I love R2C2. Me and C got such a kick out of that. And you know, our fans who had an R2C2 sign with an English flag, that was sick. The trip in general was amazing. You know, I had forgotten, it had been 12 years since I had been. I'd forgotten how amazing of a city London is, how charming, how fun it is to walk, just the culture that you feel there. And then being there with the Yankees was a whole nother level. It really was an incredible experience. And C and I are going to have a more expanded look together on the London trip a little bit later on here on R2C2. Also wanted to wish you guys all a happy 4th of July. Hope wherever you are, you get ready for a nice barbecue today, driving safely to go see family and friends, and you have a wonderful afternoon and evening enjoying some baseball, fireworks, and your favorite podcast, of course. You know, we introduced The Shift last week, which is going to be a subset of R2C2 Productions, a collaboration with the MLB Players Association. That's going to be a little bit more roundtable format with multiple guests. And it's cool. The Players Association really encouraging their players to, you know, use our platform to share these stories and to get out their personality and to, you know, express themselves in ways that maybe other platforms or mediums don't afford them. And I think that's what we've always loved about R2C2 is the comfort and honesty that people feel when they come here, and the way we're able to dive into people's personalities here. And that's what The Shift will continue to do. In our first episode with David Price and Mookie Betts, we really enjoyed, I have to say, it was funny seeing the backlash from so many Yankees fans who were like, I can't listen to Red Sox in the podcast. And then once they did, hearing them and saying, oh, that was actually a cool look. And this is the way I look about it. Like, it doesn't change the competitive nature of these guys when they're on the field, that they have friendships or that you're getting to know them better. I mean, a lot of times, even if you want to look at it strictly as a fan, right? Like, you're interested in your enemy, so to speak. So why not have a more fascinating, in-depth look that really shows you their personality rather than just reading your typical story? And this was kind of a unique way to look at that rivalry and to hear the personalities of a couple of people on the other side of the rivalry if you're a Yankee fan who's listening to R2C2. So we got a kick out of it, and I thought it was really cool how many of you reached out and said, you know, I was a little hesitant at first, but then once I listened, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And, you know, that's our goal always for you when you're consuming The Shift and when you're consuming R2C2. So brand new episode this week, Austin Romine. One of my absolute favorite people on the Yankees. Doesn't speak in cliches, really knows how to describe things, gives you honest answers, is tough. Great personality. We got to get into some of the interesting dynamics of growing up with a father in the major leagues and a brother who eventually made the major leagues as well, and who's just a sick athlete. Austin also took us through what happened with Tampa Bay last year when CeCe came to his defense. he really dove into, you know, the interesting dynamic of his upcoming free agency and sort of weighing, you know, being a backup with the Yankees or potentially starting elsewhere, which was also cool. And he had some fascinating stories about coming up through the Yankee system. Plus, we got to chat Star Wars because Austin, he could be the biggest Star Wars fan in the Yankee clubhouse. It's either him or Adam Ottavino. So that was fun as well. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation with Austin Romine. So here he is, the man who has been in the Yankees organization, I believe, longer than anyone there at this point. It's Austin Romine on R2C2.
What's up, everybody? We are back. R2C2.
You see how like C just like knows this business now too. He's like ins and outs, like, you know. I mean,
now, you know
what's
crazy?
Master.
I didn't know what PvP was.
What was that?
Yeah, exactly. Play by play.
Okay.
I had to figure that out because he's always like typing in abbreviations and shit on the group chat, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
But now C has used it himself, unprompted. Been like, yo, you got PBP this weekend?
Did I?
Yeah, you have.
I don't know about that.
Don't
man.
Act like you haven't.
I don't know about that.
I got that text framed on my wall at home. Like the moment I finally converted C.
Oh man.
By the way, I got on you, Austin, because you know you're wearing a winter hat today, but yeah. It's that cold in your clubhouse.
It depends. Every day could be different, but I guess today they cranked it all the way down. I'm assuming because it's hot outside, but. I mean, you could be wearing a full-on sweatshirt and hoodie and everything inside and then go outside and be sweating your ass off.
Sweat. It's crazy. I get cold on the days that I pitch. Maybe just because I'm, like, nervous, too. Like,
I'm
a little clammy, but it's, like, freezing in there.
Really?
Yeah, like, the days I pitch, I hate it.
As soon as everybody comes in, it gets warmer. As more bodies in there, it gets better, but, like, everybody that comes to the field is like in a hoodie walking around freezing their ass off.
It is a hilarious juxtaposition. I know because like yesterday I was outside in a three-piece, smart choice on my part, but it was like ridiculously hot. And I walk in the clubhouse after like just being on the field for a minute and I'm like dying sweating and I'm seeing people walking around in sweatshirts and I'm like, what is going on?
It's freezing in there.
But I guess
we spend all our time in there. We just chilling. You know?
I guess so, man. Austin, you have been here. You've been here a long time now, man.
Yeah.
Like, how long? When did you start with the organization?
I was 07.
Wow.
Yeah, no, like the most under the radar guy ever to come through. Just quietly accumulating 12 years with the Yankees.
Oh my gosh.
No, I've been here for a minute. It's awesome.
What, you know, a lot of times, I think I've talked to Brett Gardner about this at different times, and even Judge has talked about how like the training in the minor leagues and the way it kind of prepares you for being a Yankee. What was that process like? Like, I mean, how much of that goes on when you're in the minors of like, hey, like when you get to the show, it's a little different here and this is how we do things. Like, is there a lot of that that goes on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a catcher, so they beat the shit out of you down there.
Yeah.
Like they have to get you ready. They have to iron out stuff. I had Tony Pena too,
who was
as hard ass as they come. I mean, I remember blocking drills was him standing 10 feet away, peppering a fungo at us, not throwing it, and him laughing and yelling the entire time while like, come on, let's go. I'm like, dude, it's 120 in Tampa right now.
Oh,
like,
my
we're dying.
Gosh.
But no, it was
amazing.
Tough. But they had to prepare you for this because this stuff's no joke. It goes so fast that if your shit's not tight, it's game speeds up on you and it'll pass you quick. And plus, they don't want to throw someone that doesn't know their stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't done your homework and they can't trust you, it's going to show in the game, and they're going to get frustrated real quick.
But what about, like your dad, too, like, helping you, like, getting ready for, like, you know, obviously he played in the big leagues and, like, you know, that training and, you know, talking, going on as a kid. What was that like?
Absolutely. I mean, having a dad who played, I mean, from the minute we were, like, he was like, oh, hey, they showed some talent in baseball. This could be something they could do. There was no sugarcoating. He's like, there's, like, the minors is tough. It's going to suck sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, we were bred to be here. There was never not going to make it to the big leagues. That was always what was going to happen, and they did everything they could, my mom and my dad. Like, I remember my mom's outside, like, did you do your homework? Cool, get your ass out in the cage.
And wow.
She'd be out there behind a net. So, I mean, they were a huge force that drove me early in my, like, 13, 14, 15 to get my stuff together and, like, get out there. But being able to talk to your dad and him know what to expect and facing pitchers that are really good in the big leagues, I mean, there was never anything that shocked me. It was always like, all right, my dad told me about that shit. I can handle that. I'm going to go do it.
This is what I love about R2C2, right? It gives us the chance to have these conversations. Like, you just don't, and this is why fans like it too. You just don't have those avenues to talk about these kind of things and hear these kind of stories. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's
yeah.
part of what we love about it. Like, now I'm picturing Tony Pena just like peppering fungos yes. at you. And,
it was awful.
And with your family, I'm wondering, Austin, what was the age where you said, like, okay, you know, not only is this like my dream, but this is my goal and I can do this. Like, how early did that
start?
Like,
realization that I might have a shot at it?
Yeah, yeah.
15, probably, when I was playing with 18-year-olds. Yeah. My brother was 18, and he's played in the big leagues for 6-7 years. I knew I had a chance. I didn't know how good I was going to be, but I knew I had a chance at 15 because I was playing on 1,800 teams and going around tournaments, and teams would, like, fly you there to play with them. Mm-hmm. And, like, I really didn't know. I was just, you know, I just kept my head down and played. But when I kind of stepped back and realized I was playing with guys 3 years older than me going to D1 colleges, and I was 15 and just got to high school, I was like, this might be something that I could possibly, you know, go far in. So,
what about, like, other sports? Like, I know you play football, too. Do you think that helps you, like, with your baseball, like, catching? I see, like, a lot of linebacker in you sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way he is, you know what I'm saying? Like,
man,
you can tell he played football, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
I had a lot of aggression when I was a kid, like, a lot. And I'm still an aggressive personality, but, like, that was a way to vent it.
Yeah.
I personally enjoyed football, but only defense. Like, I liked just hitting everybody as hard as I could.
Yeah.
There wasn't much talent in it. I knew I was going to be a catcher, but my brother – he got like 5-6 D1 scholarships to be a wide receiver.
Really?
Wow.
SC, Oregon, like all of them.
Oh, damn.
That's like big time, man.
He was nasty, but we always knew we were going to play baseball, but like he had to sit down, and I remember having a conversation with my dad. Like, this is something you got to choose.
Did he play all the way through? Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
Senior year?
All the way to senior year. And then he also ran track. He played a baseball game. And then walked down to the track and ran state finals.
Oh, my God.
And they won.
So he's just –
sick athlete.
That's a different kind of athlete,
He was also the quarterback, like, when he was coming up, when he had to spend a year, like, freshman year, JV or whatever it was. He was the quarterback, and they just ran the option.
And then when he
got to the varsity team, they just threw him out of the tide. And he was just – it was fun to watch.
That is amazing. So was he – I mean, how much did you look up to your brother when you were growing up?
Yeah, no, I mean – with any big brother, like, you know, he was the guy. He was the quarterback, the shortstop, like the quintessential older brother who was good at everything. I didn't win a fucking video game until I was 15 years old. It was brutal. This guy, he never let me win a thing. But it made me better.
Yeah.
It made me better. Yeah. That's like what it's like.
But that's why you were 15 playing with 18 years old.
That's exactly
you know
why.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's why.
Right.
He did his job as an older brother in that sense. Like, he never let me win. He made me earn everything I've ever had to do.
That is awesome.
It's cool.
What is there, C and I talk about this sometimes, is there like any foundational pieces of advice that your dad gave you that you go back to often? You know, I mean, it could be partly because he's your dad and then partly because he was a big leaguer.
Yeah. The one thing he always told me and my brother, it's simple, but he always said, you know, you never know who's watching. And that was something that just stuck with me. There was a bunch of other stuff that he taught me how to do. How to prepare and stuff like that, but you never know who watching always stuck and it was ingrained in us. And that can go for multiple things. You know, it can go for baseball. You never know who's watching you play. You never know the kid in the stand that came to see you can see you play hard one time and he's a fan for life, or your own kids. You never know who's watching, how you interact with your family or your wife or your friends and stuff like that. So that's kind of been ingrained in me. I'm trying to do the same thing for my kids, but it's just something that, it made me play harder. It made me be a better person.
And you still think of it to this day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have those things from your father that you think about? Like any like foundational pieces of advice where you're like, you know what?
It was always just for me, like just to be humble, like to stay humble. Like as a kid, like, I was the only child. You know what I'm saying?
So I was just thinking that. Like, I was just thinking, like, wait, does he have brothers or sisters?
No,
like,
no, I was the only child.
I don't know why I didn't know
so,
that,
like,
but yeah.
Celebrating, yeah. Like, you know, I had bad sportsmanship. You know what I'm saying? And I couldn't take losing shit.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that was always a big part of, like, my development is, like, my emotional side. Still, to this day, like, I get emotional And fucking, I was ready to cuss Laz out last night. And I came set last night and looked at the second base umpire. I was like, man, fucking Laz set. And I was like set, like getting ready to throw a pitch. Like,
did you start laughing at the second base umpire?
I mean, nah, he didn't seem to say shit.
Oh, man.
You do that. But, you say shit in the middle of the game sometimes. It makes me crack up when I'm
just like so emotional, man. But I've always been like that. So it was just, I mean, I just always, you know, always remember just to stay humble and to keep working hard.
Isn't it cool, though, those kind of those foundational things, they stay with you, you know, and they mean different things at different times in your life. But, like, I remember one for me is, like, my dad, like, he was always huge on, like, two things I've always taken from him. He's just a dude who gets things done. Like, I mean, you never hear, like, I'm tired, whatever. Like, I mean, he just gets it done. It's never, oh, I got off a flight at this time, I got to do this. It's like, no. It has to be done. It'll get done, you know? So that's always helped me now in my career with, like, you know, if I have crazy travel, like this past weekend, I'm going cross country, do 7 boxing matches, flying back next day. No. You get it done. Period. Yeah,
just do it. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, like, it was like always like a, hey, you be the dude who's, you know, first in, last out, but also like be the dude who helps with the equipment. Like, be that guy. Like, no matter what your stature is, humble. Like, always, yeah, kind of like what you were talking about, that humility. Like, always be that guy. And it meant different things when I was, you know, playing varsity baseball in high school than it does now, but you know, just kind of, it always stays with you.
Yeah, for sure.
In some way, it really does. Now, speaking of CeCe's emotional side, you guys, you were in the middle of that emotion last year in Tampa Bay together.
Yeah.
How about, like, I got to tell you, we did our first podcast talking about what happened in Tampa at the end of the season was after playoffs. We were in the studio, Uninterrupted's studio in Tribeca, and C got, like, he got fired up then talking about protecting you. And I could tell there was, like, a real genuine, you know, there was a real, like, hey, that's my guy. They're throwing up at my guy. See, like, what did that mean to you to see the way C had your back?
That's an old school value. You know, C's old school. You just don't throw at catchers. Like, especially around their head. I think what got him going most was around someone's head. And he saw how it messed me up. Because I got hit a couple years before that in the minors, and it kind of jacked me up for a little while. So.
Yeah.
But I honestly, if it was anybody, he would do the same thing. I've seen him get, you know, upset when people are messing with that.
Yeah.
But, no, it means a lot. It means a lot. I mean, but again, I think he is all about protecting his team, as any guy is. I mean, it's an old school thing.
Yeah.
But I think everybody kind of has that at their core.
And you'd had concussions too, which I think the context of that also.
Man, we talk about concussions. Yeah, it's a bad word.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Not for a catcher, man. Too many.
That
was a bad deal.
Yeah.
The head is a bad spot. Yeah. Like, you can do whatever you want. Like, if you had a problem and you wanted to hit me, if they smoked me right in the ass or in the middle of the back, I know how it is.
It was just so we did hit a couple. Though, it was crazy, man. Like,
it was from left field. It was out of nowhere. It was out of nowhere. And if it was and they felt like they needed to and they hit me in the ass, I would have ran to first.
Yeah.
It's the game.
It was just the way they did it.
But when you throw it up at someone's head, that's where all the problems happen.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. It's by the head.
How long do you guys remember stuff like that?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
How long do you? Forever. That shit don't never
Never forget
leave.
It. No. Never forget it.
No.
You know, see, I like, Austin's one of my favorite dudes to talk to, even from just like a media perspective. Doesn't speak in cliches, like always gives you specific, interesting answers. But also, I feel like, not to just like, you know, not to give you these, you know, accolades while you're sitting here, Austin, but I just feel like, since we're talking about you.
Keep going, man.
Keep going.
That's like,
I love it. No, I love it. That's you, like, get more than everybody else. I'll tell you how much.
No, that's like me with the, when they do nice reviews on iTunes, I'll read the whole damn thing. Like, I'm not stopping. Let me go to the 7th sentence of why you love me. So I would think Austin is the kind of dude who you just love having as a teammate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to go to war with you. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think the biggest thing that we love as pitchers is that, you know, he's prepared.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, when you go out there and he's back there, it's like having Larry or whoever back there. It's like having a scouting report. You know he's prepared. You can go a bunch of different ways. And it's just fun being able to work with him and you know, having success.
See, that goes back to what I was saying before. They really care about that stuff, man.
Yeah.
If you're not, and I had to learn early in my career, I got messed up. Like with Tite, man, I don't know if he really enjoyed throwing to me or not, but I was like, I was like 21. I had no idea. I didn't know any hitters. And then from that moment on, it was like, I was going to know everybody. So if they had a question, I could answer it. I don't always have the answers, but I'll tell you why and where and how we can get there. But they need you prepared. It's an overlooked kind of thing, but that's how trust is built. They really need you to freaking figure it out for them sometimes.
For real.
Yeah. Right. Like, so take us back. So was there, like, I mean, you're 21 trying to catch Andy Pettit.
Yeah.
Affectionately known as Tite, who's incidentally my favorite athlete of all time, but also we know an incredible competitor and super intense.
Yeah.
Did you have any interactions where he's asking you questions and you're like, I don't know, bro.
Almost all the time. He wasn't asking me too many questions. He was telling me. That was kind of like veteran Yankee god, you know, of lore, and
yeah,
like 21-year-old kid who didn't know what shoe to
put on
first.
That had to be rough. That's got to be.
It was rough, but it made me better because it was tough early.
Yeah,
and then I talked to some people. No, and,
but you know what?
Out,
after that,
nothing was as bad.
Nothing is as bad as that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like nothing is as big as Andy Pettit. Nobody's as big as that. So if you can catch him, then. You good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's actually true, right? Yeah. It lays the foundation for you kind of not to be nervous then.
It's actually a good thing to have that early.
Early was better. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you just locked in as a Yankee.
Well, because I know how to react to those situations. Like,
did he ever, like, yell at you? Like, bro, what are you doing? Or what's the tone? Like, give us an Andy impression of what that is.
I can't do that. I don't have that twang.
Hey,
He never cussed.
He would just
He would get angry.
If he would scream shit, I'd be like, you might as well just fucking cut.
You might as well say it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the shit he would yell, I'm like, bro, just say the cuss word.
Oh, man.
Hey, look, nobody more prepared. It's unbelievable. Him and, I mean... They were fierce on the mound.
Like, yeah.
Chill guys off, you can tell.
Yeah.
And when they get on the mound, they're different, man. They transform, and I think that's why they've had success. But he was one of those guys.
Well, the way you kind of like just scream, you know, curses at the sky when you're pitching, see, it reminds me a little bit of how Andy used to always talk to himself.
Yeah.
Like that was like he may not have been cussing, but he's like he's just having a full-on like angry conversation with himself out on the mound. Like, gosh darn it, if I only got the cutter inside there,
good.
Like, you know. Like,
yeah. Pretty good.
That's
right?
Pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Not bad. Like, I mean, I remember even like game 6 of the 2009 World Series, him actually having a convo with Joe West coming off the mound like early in that game.
I don't remember. I was so nervous in that game. I don't remember.
Would you? You would have been pitching game 7,
that's
right?
Why I was so nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I was
man.
Like, fuck.
Oh,
not
man.
Until Matsui hit the homer. Did I, like, actually, like, enjoy the game?
Yeah.
Because up until that, I was just preparing to face fucking Utley again, who had took me deep.
Yeah.
Fucking 3 times already.
That's true, man.
He took me deep twice in the first game and then once in game 4. So I was like, fuck, man, we got to face this guy again.
I bet you
game 7.
All of that is documented in the new book from Brian Hoke and Mark Feinsand, Mission 27. Go out there and get it, R2C2 listeners.
Right there.
You like that?
That was a sneaky little plug.
Do you got, like, a little writing credit on that book
nothing,
or something?
Man. I got nothing, but you know what? I really like both of them. So I want the book to do well for them. And I love that team, too, man. I mean,
that was a good team.
That was a nasty team, man. That was a great team. You guys, Austin, I feel like you're building a story that could be like that kind of year, man. I know there's a lot still to be accomplished, but it just feels like you guys certainly have the capability of being that kind of team.
It's just a good clubhouse, man.
It is.
That's just it. It's all that stuff is great down the line, but and like we're just focused on having fun and winning right now. Like, we expect to win every time we go out. Even when we had guys missing, we were expecting to win, and we were. Mm. So, I mean, I just think that unity in that clubhouse is so tight that, like, it's just – you just go out there and play. And, I mean, we just enjoy having it. You know, we're hitting balls out of the park again. It's just fun. It's the most fun team I've ever been a part of.
It's good. And it's just, like, it's crazy because it's all, like – I don't want to say it's all like coming together, but it's all just like building from like 16, from like when Gary first came up, you know what I'm saying, until you know, Judge coming up, and then, you know, 17 having that run ALCS, and like it's just all building until, I mean, this group of this core, you know, I may not be here, but this core is gonna win the World Series.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and you know, hopefully it's this year, you know, it being my last year, but these guys are gonna win for sure.
Austin, when you think about kind of like your journey through the minor leagues, there was a lot of catching prospects at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of there. I believe it was during the Jesus Montero days.
Oh, shit.
Officially.
I was about to say, who are you talking about?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Am I right? Wasn't that the same time as you? Yeah.
Yeah, I backed him up.
Well, you won that one, man.
I would say I survived that one.
And then there's another catcher I'm thinking to before Gary. Who was? I feel like there was a third one who was down there with you guys, and people used to talk about Jesus, you, and someone else.
I mean, not Murph.
Yeah, maybe it was John Murph. Ryan Murphy, maybe was it? Murph.
Well, I mean, there was a bunch.
There was a ton of. It was like catcher was the position where it felt like you guys were like stockpiling. You know, what when you're going through that? How much are you looking at what Jesus is doing, the other guys? Like, how much are you guys tracking each other as you're going up through the minor leagues at the same position with the same goals?
When I was, like, worried about that stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would. You'd be like, damn, what's he doing?
You couldn't. There's no way that you don't. Like, yeah. I mean, it's so weird because you on a team together, but you're competing.
Yeah. I always wanted their jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm going to beat you. But that's what drove me to be what I was. Like, I had to do that. I had to use that as fuel.
You have to have that mentality. Mm-hmm. Even though this guy's your teammate, like, you don't want him to play bad or pitch bad or whatever, but you want to play better than them.
Yeah. Because you're trying to get somewhere.
And you have to.
Yeah.
You have to play better than them. That's how the fuck you're going
to
get here.
Because the guy behind you is trying to do the same shit you're trying to do the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
There's always someone behind you that wants your job.
The minor leagues is such a tricky thing, man. It's crazy.
It's hard to navigate through, man. Yeah. Sometimes you can get stuck and lost and
right, like
shit,
how do you
it's hard
twice.
To have like real friends too. You know what I'm saying? Like when you have a real friend and you a guy that you really like bond with and know, like that's you have that friend for life. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the minor leagues when you're going through that bullshit.
Who was that for you?
My guy Devin Rogers and Dave Riske, two of the guys that I met on the very first day when I got to the minor leagues, and you know, still two of my closest friends in life. You know,
how about do you know, like, do you kind of like snuff out dudes who are like saddling up next to you, but you know, like, you know, they're kind of like working against you a little bit in the minor leagues with that dynamic. Like, can you kind of feel that out and be
like fake people?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if you want to see it, some people don't choose to see it.
Yeah.
They just choose to drink the water. And like, I don't know. I can see it real quick.
And plus you were a first rounder, so I'm sure like everybody.
No,
was
a second rounder. I just squeaked in there. That was the last pick of the second round. I just squeaked in there, man.
But a high pick, though. Everybody
yeah, that's
was.
A high pick.
I was a second pick. I was our second pick.
Yeah, so people
are focusing.
Everybody's
like on you, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you had to do shit real early when you're like there. They expected stuff. You had to do it. I was lucky enough to go somewhere in Charleston and have a good hitting coach and it was good.
Who'd you have?
Craig Colby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Colby. I mean, everybody loves him.
It's always that one guy, that one person, like, in the minor leagues, that one that you feel like
he latched on to, and he's like, oh, the only reason I hit is because of that. Like, I mean, he really helped me out. He's an amazing hitting coach.
Is he the coach you think about when you think about, like, you know, people who played a role in getting you to this position? Like, is maybe he's part of it. Is there a coach in particular or a mentor who you think of, like, thank God I had that dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done so good. I have a bunch of guys that I think that about.
Yeah,
and
who
it's not just hitting coaches. I mean, Julio Mascaro. He was our catching guy. He basically taught me how to catch, how to block, how to catch in professional baseball. And then you can get into hitting coaches with Colburn, Marcus. I had Marcus in AAA and stuff like that. And I mean, I know I'm going to forget some dudes. Tommy Phelps helped me with game calling. He's a pitching coach, I think, at AAA now.
Yep.
There's just different guys that hit you at different times that teach you different things if you're open to it.
Yeah.
Like I learned how to call a game from a pitching coach, how to hit major league, you know, minor league, major league hitting from certain guys. Marcus, I've been lucky to have him come up with us.
Yeah.
And I think that's another huge thing for us is that Marcus
he's been there.
This core in AAA that's come up and they just continue to work with him. So, I mean, I think there's different people that hit you at different times. If you're open to it, they help you out a lot.
I think you have to be open to it. You have to be willing to be coachable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you are, then you can catch. It's a lot of information. There's a lot of people that want to tell you stuff and want to, you know, kind of make their mark and put their stamp on you or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you can get through some of that information, it's always a lot of, you know, good stuff that comes from some of that shit.
Absolutely. Austin, give us an idea of, like, informationally, what you have to consume before a game when you are catching? Because you were because you were talking about how, hey, I need to be prepared for these guys.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things C talked about appreciating with you. And we know that that has grown exponentially in the age of analytics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much do you have to consume before a start?
A lot of videos taking over. It's easier to sit down and watch the guy's last start, how these hitters have been hitting. I like to know who's hot. I mean, you always want to know who's hot coming into a series. You got to focus on them a little more. There's a lot. We get sheets. My debut, they handed me a binder. I was like 20. And they handed me a binder, and I was just like, the fuck do I do with this? Like, I can't, the game's in an hour.
How early do you start watching video? Like, when do you start watching? Or do you just watch like that morning?
So I try to look at the series and see which game I'd probably catch.
Mm.
A little tougher this year. Gary's killing it, so he's catching a lot. And by the way, he's been catching his ass off.
Yeah.
He's been catching.
I mean, it's unbelievable how much better he's, like, it's unreal.
Yeah,
he has. It's so true.
It is. And, you know, he doesn't get as a lot of credit. I mean, he gets yelled at when he doesn't do good, but that's a different story.
No,
I'm a big fan of Gary's. I'm a big fan of Gary's.
I think we all are.
He's working his ass off.
And I told you, he works his ass off.
Yes.
He works his ass off.
By the way, I want to get back into that, but you are so right. And that's something actually a couple of weeks ago when I was doing pre and post with Jack Curry on Yes, we both pointed that out. Like, why is everybody so quick to, like, yell about any mistake Gary makes defensively? But then can you please also give him the credit with the same volume?
Like, I think a little bit because he hits too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody's just so fascinated with the homers, and he's leading the league in homers that, you know, you get kind of – you forget to praise him about how good he's catching. Catching is such a, like, a thankless job anyway. Yeah. Like, when you do good, people don't even recognize it.
Nah.
Yeah.
You only notice it when
if
it's
you're
bad.
Doing good, no one sees it.
You know what
it.
I'm saying? When the guy's blocking, call a good game and shit, people don't notice it. The pitcher gets the credit and all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So catching is...
But that's what we want. We don't want to be noticed.
Yeah.
Because that means you're running your ass to the backstop to get a ball. And that's a lonely run, man.
So it's just a tough job, man. And he works his ass off, so we all are big fans of Gary. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
That was awesome that he brought that up, because I'm always on here, you know, praising Gary.
Yeah. Hell yeah. He should be, though, because I backed him up for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Like, you see a guy work, you work with him, you talk, you make sure you're on the same pages with certain pitchers. Hey, what'd you do last time? I'm catching this guy this time. Like I said, I was looking at the schedule trying to figure out which game I'm going to get. I need to be ready to watch the video on them, but you need to tell me what you've been getting, because what the video has and what they've been doing is a little different. That's why I sit underneath and watch sometimes. I'm trying to see how balls are moving, what their stuff's doing that day, what they have that day in case something happens. I got to go in. I don't want to miss the beat. So it's just constantly staying ready, evolving with the game.
And plus, like, the scouting report is only as good as what the pitcher can do.
Yeah.
You can say a guy can't hit changes, but the motherfucker can't throw a changeup. What's the fucking point? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the scouting
report
is only as good as what the pitcher can do. We pitch to the pitcher's strengths anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the scouting report is good. Like, I like to know who's hot and who's whatever, but fuck, am I going to change? I throw a cutter and a two-seamer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Backdoor slider.
Yeah.
It is what it is, bro. Like, you pitch to your strengths. And
absolutely.
I think as pitchers get older and realize that, that's how they get better. You can't change for these hitters, man. Like,
no.
You know, a guy might be good on changeups, but who's fucking changeup? Not mine. Not my fucking slider. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. I don't know about anybody else. That's just how I think, you know?
I totally get
it. It's true. Last night, like, when you went for that last strikeout, everybody's on it. What do you think he's going to throw? I'm like, he's throwing a slider.
Yeah.
He just threw two of them. What do you think
everybody
he's going to throw? Watch the game.
I'm throwing a slider,
he knew it. He still couldn't hit it because it's not his slider.
Yeah,
I'm throwing a slider.
It's funny,
I love that. Austin, you have an amazing story because, you know, you came up with the organization like we were talking about, and then you get DFA'd, and you're available to anyone. You end up back in the minor leagues with the Yankees. Build your way back up and now have become an established Yankee as the backup catcher here for, I mean, I don't know how many straight years it is now, but I mean, it feels like
20.
Yeah.
Fucking great. No, it was hard to get here.
I know, man.
Look, they always say it's hard to get there, but it's hard to stay there. I should say it's hard to stay here.
Especially here.
Yeah.
More so than anywhere else.
Here's a different
story. It's hard to stay here.
You got to be the best backup catcher in the league to stay here.
Yes, you do.
Like, you have to be up in those talks of doing what, you know.
Yes.
That's hard. Like, they don't mess around here. You got to be good at what you do.
Yeah. What was the hardest moment when you're available to anyone and you're DFA'd? Like, what's the hardest moment mentally, emotionally to get through that, you know, that you could think of looking back now that you've gone through those waters and emerged and found yourself with a serious role here for a long time?
Yeah, that was a shitty time. I remember it too. I was in Washington and team, they bring you in an office and you die, basically. Yeah. a little each time. You know, I hate going in the manager's office. Booney was like, "Hey, come here." I'm like, "I'm not coming in your office, bro."
Oh my god,
this is nothing but bad stuff happens. He's like, "No, it's good." But no, like I remember getting in the car and like that. You know, I'm not gonna go too much into it. They're like, "Look, we're going with someone else." And I was like, "All right." Nothing really sat in until I was in the car alone, like contemplating my life. Like yeah. that yeah. makes you contemplate. That's a moment where you're like, "All right, is this it? Can I do this?" Or am I just fucking around and wasting everybody's time, my family's time, my kids' time, my time, their time? And it was just a moment where, you know, thank God I have a good wife. Like, I called her, and she was like, "Get your shit right." Mm. And I was like, "Okay, I'm going to figure this out." And then I just took that chip and threw it up on top and just grinded. Everybody says it's a good story. It is. But at the end of the day, there's nothing, like, crazy about it. I just, every time I was in the lineup, I played as hard as I could. And it just worked out. And I always tell people, just grind your ass off. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If not, it's nothing you can control. You can control how you play.
You can't control your effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can control your effort and your attitude.
Yeah. I have something to prove.
You can't control. No. You know what I'm saying?
This reminds me of you know, something I wanted to ask you, but it's something also we ask people on our new Twitter handle, at R2C2. So oh, everybody shit. Out there, we got our own Twitter handle. That's it.
Twitter.
The show has a Twitter handle.
You guys sorry, are blowing
not, up. Not just at CC Sabathia or at Ryan Rucco, but at R2C2. And it's it got 1,000 followers like that.
Damn.
So it's growing, man. Yeah, and people had a lot of questions for you, Austin. And one of them was one I wanted to ask as well. And it was from E. Zimmerman 72, and he asked, you know, are you happy here as the backup, or do you want to – are you a free agent at the end of this year?
Yeah.
This year. Would you want to go try and start somewhere else? And I want to just couch the question by saying this. I've thought about that a lot because yeah. you're – as we've seen, you've started for chunks of times when Gary's hurt or yeah. other guys are hurt, and you've acquitted yourself very well. You could start somewhere. But you also, even though you're the backup, and sometimes there's a stigma with that – you have a very valuable role here, and I do think it seems like it's appreciated. And yeah. and it's not just like you're any backup. It's like a no. Like, we got the best backup in the game, and we appreciate having him here. With the context of that kind of, like, I mean, how tantalizing is it to try and start somewhere, or do you feel really happy here in this role?
I mean, it's a good question. Both ways. Anybody would be lying if they said they didn't want to try and do the best they could, mm-hmm. whether that's here or there. Like, I love this team. Like, like he said, I'm going to war with these guys. I've known most of these guys for 12 years with C. Like,
yeah,
I'm down for the team.
Yeah.
I think they know that. But sometimes, like, you gotta you're lying if you're not saying that you want to start. Like, I would love to start.
Yeah.
But my role now is to do the best I can for this team. I'm always about in the moment. I'm in the role.
Yeah.
You can think about that stuff when it comes to it. Like, there could be certain situations where I can make that decision, but a lot of the times in life, that makes a decision for you.
Yeah,
I would love to be able to play good enough to make a decision like that.
So, I mean, I can answer it for, I mean, obviously being a teammate of yours and seeing, you know, how hard you work and knowing that you could start, I would hate to lose you.
Yeah.
But seeing, you know, Savelli, you know, and everybody else, you know, I mean, I want to see my guy get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that. I mean, he just deserves that, set his family up, everything. Like,
yeah.
So, whatever happens, you know, I mean, I think we're all, wishing the best. I mean, if he's here, it'd be great, but you want to see, he deserves to get paid.
It's hard not to sound selfish in it.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I love these guys, but, like, I owe it to my family to try and do the best I can with
sure.
what time I have.
Well, this is the solution. Let's let the Yankees just pay you like a starter to be here. How about that?
Hey,
just pay Austin as a starter to be here. Simple as that, man. Let's lock him up. Give him a nice fat 5-year yeah. deal. Come on, baby. That's what we want. All right, how about this? Alex Teixeira tweets in, any good high school stories from your time playing with Nolan Arenado? Did it seem possible back then he could become perhaps the greatest third baseman of his generation?
Oh, hell yeah. You should have seen this kid when he was a freshman. Like, he couldn't play third. I don't know why. We stuck him at first as a freshman, and he raked. And then he just went on to develop. And every record that I had set, he just shattered. And I was like, oh, man. I was like the first guy to come out of the school. I was like, yeah. And then he just shattered it. But he's a good dude, comes from a really good family. He eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. It's, really? It's unbelievable.
Now, did he go? Did Matt Chapman go to the same high school?
Yeah,
too? All the same high school.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, we used to be the worst. and then a certain group came in.
My group. Start with your brother, or your brother?
No,
would go
my,
to the high
I
school?
Went to our rival with my brother, okay. And then I transferred because we moved to our rival. And that was a whole shit story. They tried to block it.
Really?
Like,
oh,
in high
no.
school, bro, they tried to block
oh,
a transfer.
Oh, my gosh. These parents sometimes, they
it's
just take
school.
It too
crazy. It's crazy out there in Southern California.
It's crazy.
Oh, my
Not
gosh.
Not Southern California. It's everywhere.
Everywhere?
Everywhere.
Man, they were trying to block a sophomore from transferring because we
I
moved.
I mean.
I moved to a, and when I lived 5 minutes, I could walk.
To the school.
And both my parents worked. I wouldn't have no way of getting to the other school. And they tried to block it. And we're like, look, we're not trying to lie here.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like we really moved. Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh, that is.
But all my boys went to the other one.
Really?
you can act that out.
Now, a couple people had questions about this, but Pedro Rivera being one of them, wondering. So he wanted to know what it was like talking with your brother after the brawl with the Tigers.
In what sense?
Just like the interaction on the field in that moment.
Yeah, no, he came over and he said, "You good?" And I said, "Yeah." And that kind of was it. Like, he was over here, and it was funny. I can't remember what coach it was of theirs, but he was yelling at my brother or something to get over here, and I turned around. I was like, man, fuck you. Like, like, we may have different jerseys on, but do you realize we're brothers, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah man, yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I think Head came up to me. He's like, dude, sorry. I think I hit your brother or pulled him off or something. I was like, we're in a brawl. You can do whatever you want. Keep him off me, man.
Oh, my gosh. How about, like, I mean, honestly, I have to say, I can't even remember you, like, talking to you afterwards as we were about to get on the plane and being like, bro, that was impressive. Like, you just fucking form tackled Miguel Cabrera, man.
That was crazy.
Like, I wasn't about to stand there. He was throwing bombs. Yeah. And I was like, dude, this guy's huge. Like, I didn't realize how big he was. So I was going to take it to the ground.
That was crazy. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was like a team building moment.
That was. That was a huge team building.
We came together after that.
Hell
that was that was great.
It was. I mean, for that 2017 team, that
Hell
was a
yeah,
turning point.
Because Sonny had just got there, and then we were all like, Sonny's the, like, he's down for us.
Oh,
Sonny was
gosh,
down.
He's going crazy.
Sonny was down. He went nuts.
I do wish it would have worked out here with Sonny. He was a fun dude.
Yeah,
man.
Sonny was perfect.
He was loved by everybody.
He was.
It was unbelievable. He's a good dude.
I like this one just because it gives us an idea of the things you like outside of baseball. Super Mario at Yankee Poppy wants to know, what do you do when you're not playing?
Like, just in general?
Yeah.
Listen to
what
Baby Shark.
Yeah.
I got three kids under 6 years old. I do nothing. Like, I hold them. I play with them. Like, my kids are my life. I didn't get to see my kids for a month.
That's tough, man.
6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and I wish I had a better answer for this.
Are they all back in California?
No, they're here now. They came out and like they got in at 1, and it was like, hey, we're here, we're ready to go. And I'm like, I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah, oh, man.
So you got to stay up for 2 more hours, and they're on West Coast time, so it's only like 9.
Yeah,
they're
ready to turn up. They was ready to turn up.
But like, you got to find it. You got to find it. Like, I was just out in the garage right now packing everything for the London trip, and like, I'm out there doing strollers, trying to put shit together, and it's just like, what is going on?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I got way too much shit.
It's crazy how it just puts shit in perspective because, like, your family is always the most important thing, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you have this job, this massive, stressful, like, job that you're trying to, like, do the best that you can do, and it's crazy the putting the family aspect to it. But it's fun. It's cool.
It is.
Now I have to get to our favorite topic when we talk about the three people sitting here, and that's Star Wars, because Austin is a
Star Wars
dude, man. All right. So I know this question, but I'll ask it like I don't, so the audience hears it. Who's your favorite character?
Oh, Han Solo.
Yeah.
It's not even a joke. And they killed him off. I'm hoping he's coming back. I'm so mad. I almost got, when he died, I'm sorry, spoiler if no one's seen it.
Oh, if you haven't seen Force Awakens.
When he died, I literally went to get up. And my wife grabbed my arm. I'm like, nah, I'm done with this shit.
Oh,
fuck this shit.
Oh, man.
This little
Kylo
dude.
You know what's funny,
dude?
Han was unbelievable in the Force Awakens, too, man.
He
was so funny. He's such a good actor, man.
Harrison's good, man.
And his character is just great.
He's not coming back, though.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, you know what?
I don't know. I've read some spoilers. Dude, I'm in deep.
Oh,
like,
don't.
I'm in deep. I'm in, like, there could be, it's not going to happen, but I'm like, yeah, it could happen.
So So you're going down every rabbit
everywhere.
Hole.
Everywhere. It's like when you get on YouTube and you watch one video, and then you're like, oh, what's that one? And you go to the next video, and then like 2.5 hours later, you're like, what am I watching
what
right
the
now?
Fuck yeah. is going
it's like a lion attacking a zebra.
You can't even process everything that you just watched.
Just like, wasting time.
A lion attacking a zebra.
I don't know how I ended up on this.
Wait, so here's my question. Like, do you think that in Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, which comes out in December, which we got to get our asses somehow invited to the premiere.
We
man.
Do. We and we, I got to go out. This time, right?
Yeah, yeah. This way, I got to tell
invited,
this.
But didn't go?
Wait, I got to tell this story.
Please.
So we get invited. Michael Strahan comes on the podcast with us, has a great time, as all the R2-C2 guests do. And he goes, we start talking. He's like, yeah, I'm going to the Friends and Family premiere here in New York of Last Jedi. Yeah. And so this is when Episode 8 is coming out. He's like, and me and C are like, yo, we got to go. He's like, oh, you guys want to go? He gets us on the list. First of all, we both had a plus one, which neither of us knew.
We didn't know that.
So those two tickets were going away regardless. No. So I
just got to wear it, man.
So here's
here you go.
If he's done it to Jeet, he can do it to Ruko, okay?
This is what I did.
This is what you do.
So anyway, so it's day of and I'm like, "Hey, you want to meet here, whatever. We get invited, we're going to go. It's like the Tuesday before it's being released on the Thursday night or the Monday before it's being released on the Thursday night, one or the other, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, like I might be a little late, whatever, like." And so then I'm at the theater online, and I get the text. He's like, cause I'm still at Lil C's game.
It
I'm
was,
not gonna make
yeah,
it.
I was at the game. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
the basketball game.
Now this is the kind of thing you got to get there like 40 minutes early. I'm like, you're still at the game. Of course, you were never coming. Like you're there. And I'm like, hey, bro, next time just let me know. And he goes, hey, man, I'm just telling you, we're gonna be friends a long time. This shit's gonna happen again. I'm like, all right.
There's a clause.
Oh my. Gosh. Oh, seriously. I know shit. I'm going to get the text like the day of my wedding. Hey, cuz.
I was going to come.
We're planning the trip around
you
this.
You are? Yeah, all right, cool,
so,
man.
Yeah, so I'll be there.
I'll send you the room blocks.
I'll
then.
Be there.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, good. So, but you know, hilarious. But so anyway, we got to try and get invited to this. But here's my question. Do you think that they are going to bring back the parent thing with Rey and have her parents actually be someone in the story, not just anonymous junk dealers? Because I'm sure you've been seeing some stuff going down your rabbit
yeah.
holes.
You know, that's tough. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to want to go with it. I've been so locked into the old ones that the new ones coming out, I'm like, I haven't delved into them.
Okay.
So, like, this whole Rey thing, like, I've been trying to be, like, back from it on that sense.
Okay.
I focus a lot on Solo and, like, then the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where are they going to go with that? I'm yeah. actually yeah. trying to look at it, like, just, like, I didn't dive into it. Because
yeah.
every time I've dove into it, and I go to the movie theater, I'm like, shit, the stuff this I was thinking was better.
Yeah,
the
right.
way I'm not trying to down them.
No,
but, yes. like, but the way I'm trying to get it to go in my head.
Every time you think of the story the way you want it to be, even, like, just what he said, with Rey's parents, like,
yeah.
they fuck it up, I feel like. You know what I'm saying?
When you have an elaborate theory.
I build it up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just different than what you think it,
yes.
it should
and
be.
And I don't want to let myself down again.
I agree. Yeah. When you come up with theories and then what's chosen is not as inventive or interesting to you or whatever in your own mind mm-hmm. or just doesn't validate you being right.
Then you're like,
you end up,
fuck,
yeah, man.
Man.
Yeah. You end up being
I
like,
I feel like
damn.
That happened recently with yeah. the Game of Thrones stuff.
Yeah, right,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, sure. I mean, I didn't even watch most of that and people were coming in mad. I'm like, man, they messed that up and I don't even watch this show.
But I think a huge part of that is you go in with a certain expectation.
Yeah.
And then when it's not that way, you're like, so I agree with you. Because of that, I've tried to avoid like going down any rabbit holes with episode 9.
It's hard. It's
yeah.
Hard. It's
I want to go down. Like, I just want to go in free real quick before we let you go. Solo. Did you like the movie Solo? Did you like the kid who played young Han Solo, knowing that's your favorite character?
Yeah, I went into that tough on him. I think the first time I was like, man, I don't know. I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
And then I kept watching. I was like, man, he did a good job.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was great. I thought Glover in it was great.
Yeah,
I
he was.
I thought he killed Lando.
Yeah, she was.
Emily
she was
Clark,
terrific. Yeah. She was really good.
They were good.
And they could do a spinoff with Lando.
But everybody's every time I say that,
I know.
A lot of Star Wars fans are not into that, though.
That's
it.
Like, Adam
weird.
Doesn't
and
like
I loved it.
It. Like,
yeah, Adam's not into it at all. But a lot of guys aren't into, like, the Lando that whole thing.
I'd watch it.
I would, too.
If Glover was doing it.
Yeah,
I would watch anything they do.
Me too. Me too, man.
I seen that the Star Wars, the Galaxy's End just opened in In L.A.?
Yep. Guess who? You know, lives 20 minutes away from it.
Oh, shit.
Dude,
yeah.
I saw it because we used to go to Disneyland all the time because we were only like 15, 20 minutes away growing up in Southern California. So my wife and I would always go down there. And you could go on rides and you would be seeing it being built and you'd see like half of Millennium Falcon. I was like, yeah,
this is happening.
Oh my God, freaking out. No, so we saw it going up. Now I guess it's like reservation only for a little while. And then
when it
gets open, it's probably going to be packed.
I want to go to the one in Orlando.
That opens in August.
I love Disney in California, but I just feel like the one in Orlando is like.
World has more to it. Yeah. Right, it's a bigger.
I've never been there.
I've always gone
to the one in L.A.
Oh shit! Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you got to go.
Even training, if you go down like, with the kids, you go down like a couple days early and like stay at Universal's got better hotels. You stay at Universal and go there. It's a cool trip. Orlando's awesome.
Yeah, it is amazing.
It's a lot of shit to do, especially for the kids. You're gonna
love that, man. Yeah. There's so much there.
My wife's always been talking about going down to that.
We always spend a lot of time there.
Maybe we're going to have to do a group trip to Galaxy's Edge with all of us in the off season. You know?
We get Otto.
Yeah, man. That would be a blast.
Otto's in on it?
Oh, Otto loves Star Wars.
What? Yeah,
loves
man.
Star Wars.
He's too far away.
He's on the other, side of the clubhouse.
He's freaking big, man.
Oh, man.
You get lost in there.
Austin, we're going to have to do this again sometime, man.
I love it.
You're an interesting guy, and I'm so happy for your success, man. And I think our solution is get paid like a starter, stay here in New York.
For sure. I'm down for that. I'm down for that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
Pleasure.
That.
Pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
That's Austin Romine. Remember, rate, review, subscribe, R2C2 every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.